Hey everyone, welcome to the Life in Gear podcast, where truth leads to joy and adventure. I'm your host, Justin Stewart, and I'm here with Kevin Gear, where Kevin is the lead pastor at Canvas Church. Go ahead, you want
to
talk?
Well, my mouth is open because I'm waiting to say hi to everybody. Thanks for jumping in on the Life in Gear podcast. We're excited today to talk about where we're going to be going and just some fun stuff today.
Yeah, so before we get into all the fun content that we have going on, tell me, what's going on for you for this summer? What do you got going on? What's your plans?
Oh, well, you know, my son graduated. I have a second kid that graduated from high school.
Oh, man.
So that's pretty awesome. So that was a big deal celebrating him. We had a lot of fun doing that.
Do you feel old?
No, because I still have a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old and another 2-year-old in the house. So, yes, I actually do feel old at the end of the day.
Just exhausted.
But my wife and I are heading to Florida in August, and we're going to go to Disneyland for Disney World, I should say, for 4 days. And then I got a conference down there, so that's going to be fun. And then my brothers and I do an adventure every year. I've talked about that before. Yeah. And we're going to be doing a big hike coming up here. So I'm excited about that. And then the thing I'm really excited about is that the end of August, which I'll probably talk about this in the next podcast as well. At the end of August, I'm driving my Jeep down to Southern Colorado with a group of guys, and we're going to drive Black Bear Pass.
Is that like a cool pass or something?
It's like the most epic pass in the it's like a Jeep badge of honor.
Oh, is
and
it?
It's like a 2,500 foot drop, and you're right on the edge of it. And there's a video on YouTube. Yeah, there's a video on YouTube of a Jeep rolling down the hill. It's insane. Like
a dude is in the Jeep?
She got thrown out.
She got thrown out?
She got thrown out, and she lived. A lot of Jeepers have did the GoFundMe to support her, but she lost control, and the wheel went off, and she just rolled down the hill. It is the most...
I'm worried about you.
You know,
I have a buddy... I'm worried about your experience.
I have a buddy... I can drive. I have a buddy that's going with me. He's my spotter. So there's eight switchbacks where you have to do like a 3-point turn to make the turn. You're going down. So my wife said to me, she goes, Kevin, because he has 5 children. And we have 8 children currently, she's like, you know, if you two die, 13 children don't have father. So no pressure on that one.
Oh, my goodness.
I can't wait.
So important question right now.
Yeah, come on, bring it.
Do you have your life insurance policy updated?
Yep.
Okay, because that's important.
Yeah, it's huge, but I don't plan on using it. Thanks for asking that. Such positive questions.
Well, that'll be fun. Yeah, I'm going to do this summer. It's important for me to take advantage of my friends that have boats, I think.
Ooh, good idea.
There's no need for me to buy a boat because I have...
You have a lot of friends with boats.
I have a lot of friends with boats.
Yeah, so. And you have no problem inviting yourself over either.
It's a gift.
It is a gift.
It's a gift to be able to invite yourself without feeling like you're inviting yourself.
I've heard you. Like, hey, what are you guys doing this weekend? Oh, so am I. When are we leaving? Yeah. I've heard you do that.
That's not true. Okay, it might be true.
A couple times in the back room.
Okay, for this episode, Kevin, we're talking about finding the good enough line. So what do you mean by that? What do you mean by finding the good enough line?
Well, I think this is a very simple idea, simple concept. Yeah. But when you talk about the good enough line, I think we've all heard about the good enough line. We've probably even used that phrase when we're working on something and we're like, oh, it's good enough. But I think I want to sort of turn this whole idea upside down or look at it in a different way, because I think understanding the good enough line can be very empowering for people to live their life to the fullest. And in the process, guess what? They're going to find joy and adventure. And so I think...
Oh, that was cute. Did you like that? We did that in sync together.
Yeah. Let's never use the word cute again, but that was cool.
I got a bunch of girls. It's okay. Yeah. And so do you.
That is true. It was cute. So, but this, I think to understand the good enough line, let's start by defining some words that help us bring this into focus. And I think one of those would be the idea of perfection. Like, I want to do the best job that I possibly can.
Yeah.
And often we think, well, the best job is I want to do it perfectly. Mm-hmm. I want to be perfect at what I do, that I've crossed every I, dotted every T, that when people look at it, it's...
You crossed every I and dotted every T.
Did I say that backwards? Yeah. Well, there you go. That wasn't perfect, was it? But it was good enough. So I want to dot every I, cross every T. If you're a perfectionist, they knew it right away.
Yep.
But actually, the pursuit of perfection can actually hold you back from achieving your maximum result. And that,
what do you mean by that?
Well, I think the idea is the amount of time and the amount of effort and the amount of money, the amount of energy that I'm going to put in to doing something perfect is not going to give the greatest return of what I'm putting into it.
Yeah.
Because that's where you find the word excellence.
Okay.
Excellence is using the minimal amount of time, effort, and money, but producing the highest return.
Hmm.
Perfection is going, oh, I'm going to put more time, more money, more effort into it, but you don't get any return out of it.
So just so you're saying the there's a major difference between excellence and perfection.
Yeah, excellence and perfection are often used as synonymous, as the same word.
Yeah.
And I think if we define them differently, it empowers us to be able to make the best choices and be the best stewards of some of our most important commodities that we have, which is time, which is money, which is effort.
Yeah.
And if I can leverage those to the best of my ability when I'm working on something, maybe it's a paper for school or maybe it's a relationship that I have, all these things, we want to be good enough at them that they produce the greatest return on it. And I think that's where people, when we start to understand what is the good enough line and how do you find it, this brings perspective of going, I'm working my tail end off trying to get the most out of this, and it's not working. Let me tell you where I discovered this concept, because it's not original with me. I was visiting a church down in California, pastored by Larry Osborne, large church, mega church.
Yeah.
And they have several different venues on the same piece of property. And at each venue, it's pretty cool how they did this. At each venue, they have a different worship style. So like you would come to church,
right?
And if you wanted bluegrass worship, you'd go to the bluegrass venue.
Wait, are you being serious? They had bluegrass worship?
Yeah, they had like country worship. They had rock and roll worship. They had all these different styles. So they created this. Yeah, it was, they created this church with different venues on the same property, but each venue was determined by their music style.
So Canvas is going to do that next.
Yeah, no. So, so we went to. We used to have a softer Sunday, which was more of a traditional kind of a gathering. So yeah, very similar to that to that idea. So I went to the Edge, which is a little bit more rocking and rolling, you know.
You Gen Xer.
Yeah, it was a 100% a Gen X gathering. You know, lights are down, everything's black. Yeah, totally. Well, at the very end of the gathering, there's a bunch of us pastors that were there. He walks in. And he says, hey, guys, what do you think of the venue? And we're like, it's phenomenal.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Like, it's so amazing what we had just experienced.
Yeah.
And he goes, you know, look at the ground. What do you guys think about the flooring? When we look down at the floor, it's concrete floor painted black.
Yeah.
We're looking at each other like, it was great.
Yeah.
He said, in the original plans, we were going to carpet the whole thing. It was $100,000, and it would have been perfect.
Yeah.
But what we realized is we could save $100,000 if we just painted it black.
Wow.
Excellence.
That's it.
They saved $100,000 by just painting it black, and the end user,
I never would have thought
of that.
You would have had a critical eye in that moment, too.
Totally, because I was there to have a critical eye.
Yeah.
And would have never drawn that conclusion. And so that's where I was first exposed to this idea of, hey, find the good enough line and stay above it.
Okay.
Know where the good enough line is. Find it. You got to do research to figure out where that's going to be at. We'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah.
But then go a few notches above it so there's no room for error.
Yeah.
And you've discovered excellence.
Wow.
But if you keep working to say, make it even better, now you are wasting your time and your effort. Here's why. The difference between excellence and perfection is there is no more return after all that time, effort, and money. I'll give you an example. If I write a paper and it's a quality paper, it's the highest it will go. I'm going to get an A.
Yeah.
But I want it to be perfect. I could spend another hour working on it. I could spend another hour researching. I could spend more time getting it. Is it going to return anything more?
Nope.
No, it's already an A.
And you're getting, so this is new to, this is like fresh in your heart because you're getting ready to start some schooling, I hear.
Yeah, well, I'm getting ready to start my doctorate this fall. And, you know, and here just as a side note, I was talking to Tanya, who helps produce all of this together, and we were talking about, I said, I'm not very good at school. So she encouraged me, and she said, well, C's get degrees, and which I appreciated, but not in a doctorate program.
But see, and let's talk about this. If you shoot for a C, though, will you reach a C, and will you be above the good enough line?
Well, that's good. But here's what you got to know, Justin. C's don't get degrees in the doctorate program.
Not in the doctorate program.
No, you have to have a B or better, or you don't pass.
Or you don't pass.
No.
Oh, man.
And you're only allowed 2 C's the entire 3 years.
Okay.
So, oh.
Feel that weight.
So the next podcast is going to be on prayer, you know, praying for miracles. But I think it's important because you only have a certain amount of time, effort, and money to put into this. And, you know, we noticed it here. One of the areas that we did, I took this principle away and really started implementing it, asking myself the questions, where am I spending time, effort, money, resources that's not getting a return anymore?
That's good.
And I think we can do that in relationships.
Yeah.
I think we can do that in parenting. I think we can do that church work or business work, wherever you're doing. It's a great question to stop here maybe and go, hey, where am I spending extra time? Where am I spending more money, but I'm not getting a return on it?
So put it in perspective a lot of us are parents. So as a parent, how can I find the good enough line to stay above that in my parenting? What are you talking about?
Like for our family, and I think every family has a different view on this or a different way of doing this, but our family, when we tell our kids to go clean our room, define clean. Is clean that everything is put away in its place, or is that perfection? Mm-hmm. And so you're driving your kid to do it in such a way that they feel defeated by the time that they got there, that there wasn't a joy in cleaning, and you have to establish where's the good enough line for your family of where cleanliness is. You know, our home is never perfect. Yeah. Our bedrooms, our kids' bedrooms are never perfect. Right. But we've decided if we can get them to get their clothes in the hamper and we can get all of the food out of the room or dishes, as for my teenagers, we've determined they've put good, it's good enough, and they can live in it comfortably as their room.
Yeah.
Perfection would me be going down there going, no, I see that there. No, that's not acceptable there. No. And for us, it's not going to be a positive return.
You just hit home with me. I do that.
You do that.
Oh, I do it.
Yeah. And then what your kid is forced to be perfect.
Yeah.
When really I'm just trying to get excellence out of
it. My room is not perfect.
No. Well, how many have your kids ever walked into your room and go, Dad, your room doesn't look as good as you're telling me to make my room?
Well, they don't say those exact words, but they definitely I can see the judgment in their eyes.
Or they might say it one time, but never again. I get that. So I think those are some of the things. I think, you know, even in, I think to get there though, to discover excellence, which is the beautiful place where you've done your best and you're getting your maximum return. You've given enough effort to get maximum return and not overboard. That's the excellence line.
Yeah, and I like what you talked about earlier, just the stewardship too, because you have to be a good steward of all of those resources, and I think there's a connection of you lose that when you're striving for perfection.
Well, isn't that true? And I think what happens is sometimes that you can play the compare game, and you want to do something, and you'll look at somebody who's really, really good at that, and you'll go, it's not even worth me trying.
Yeah.
Well, because you're looking at perfection. Of someone who's worked really hard at trying to do it, and you could give it a try and find the excellence line. It might not be great as that person, but you still might get the greatest return out of it.
Yeah.
And I think that can, so sometimes this can be very empowering for people.
Sure, that's good.
I have to fight this every time I write a message.
Okay.
Every message I write can be better.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah.
Every time I speak, how about, Justin, you and I know this, every time we record this podcast.
Yeah.
We can do a better job at it.
Absolutely.
Have we ever started over?
Yep.
This podcast right here. Because we know that we can do a better job.
Yeah.
But at some point, we're going to look at each other and we're going to go, everybody's going to get this idea.
Yeah.
We could record it again.
Yeah.
5 more times. We could take more ums out of it. You could say funnier jokes.
Yeah.
We could do a better job at it.
You could be more encouraging.
I could be more encouraging. We could do a better job at it. But the truth is, We would spend all more time recording, more time working through it. But the simple podcast that we recorded the very first time is going to produce the results that every listener is going to hear. They're going to get the idea. Yeah. I got it. I got it. Yeah. So why spend all that more time?
That's good.
No. Now, here's the catch to it.
Okay.
You always have to be above the good enough line.
Yeah.
You can't be below the good enough line.
Yeah.
So I got a question for you on this whole process. Okay. Let's put you on the hot seat here.
Okay.
Right. We're recording this podcast.
Yes.
Okay. Who determines the good enough line? For this podcast?
The listener.
Yeah, what do you mean by that?
The person that's listening to the podcast is the one who actually determines if it's good enough.
Yeah, and that...
Not you and me.
Not you and I. That's the challenge.
Yeah.
We have to ask the question. Oh, I said, like, the very first time we recorded a podcast, you know how many ums I had in it?
I think you counted them.
Yeah, it was sickening, okay? And yet, we had a big conversation, and you said, you know what? The end user is not even going to care. It's natural conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was ready to say, no, we want to do it again, and I'm going to eliminate every I was pushing for perfection.
Yeah.
And we realized it was good enough where it was at. In fact, it was excellent. It was even a couple notches above good enough. We put it out. I talked to so many people afterwards that listened to that, and my because I was insecure, I kept asking the question, did I say too many ums?
Yeah.
I didn't even hear them.
Yeah, that's good.
Now that you say it, I'm going to go listen to it again. But but that was a perfect example of trying to be perfect when excellence was good enough.
When it's even an example, too, of bringing other people along on the journey with you. When you start talking about that, other people are on board with that idea, and it's not a bad thing. You have like, for instance, you had the team here saying, Kevin, we're above the good enough line.
Yes.
And same with our families. We start talking about that with our kids. I'm going to go back home and help define my cleanliness rule for my kids because we're talking about it.
Now, there's some mom sitting out there right now going, oh, man, I'm freaking out. I have everything in its place, you know, because, and I think that's very important is that if your good enough line in your home is everything in its place, it's not a problem.
Yeah.
That's where your good enough line is.
Yeah.
In our home, it's going to be different. Now, when it's at work, who establishes the good enough line? Well, your end user and your boss.
Yeah.
Because if you go to your boss and you say, hey, it's good enough, the end user likes it, and they're like, well, I don't like it. How's that going to work for you?
That's not going to work.
No, that's not going to be a good thing. But I think when you have a collaborative culture, as you and I do here, and we're working together, we understand, like here at the church, it's the person that we're trying to reach sets the good enough line.
Yeah.
The good enough line is established by the listener of the podcast. Can they get it? Can they understand it? And do they enjoy it? And are they going to listen to it again?
Yeah.
That we've hit the good enough line. So I think good enough is not bad.
Yeah. What other examples do you have? Because I think, just put in perspective for us, what other examples do you have?
Well, I think when I'm working on my Jeep, I always go back to the Jeep. When I'm working on my Jeep.
Do you work on your Jeep?
Yeah, I work on my Jeep with a friend who has the tools.
Bring him along for the journey.
working on my Jeep, but let me go a different angle because I think I have a better idea than that.
Yeah.
And I think it comes to my personal journey of even my faith.
Okay.
You know, and I think what happens is I want to be perfect in my relationship with God. I want to be perfect even in relationships.
Yeah.
And the reality is you're never going to be perfect.
Mm.
I think perfection is a very defeating goal.
That's good.
And so if I could take perfection off the table
and
realize God's more interested in my direction, that I'm striving to be who he wants me to be, or even with my relationship with my spouse, like if my spouse is not holding me to a perfection line, but she sees that I'm working hard to be the best person I can for her, that becomes very empowering.
Yeah.
And we establish the good enough line together.
Yeah.
And when the goal is never to fall below that line. And when you have good communication, you know, your spouse is that just wasn't good enough for me in the way that you spoke to me or the way you treated me or the way you cleaned your room. It helps you establish where you're at. When you and I work together, one of the biggest things that for us is we have to be on the same page of where the good enough line is, and then we have to strive to be above it.
Yep.
Not settle, be above it just a couple notches in case anything goes wrong, we don't fall below the good enough line because then it's not good enough.
Yeah.
And that's excellence right there. Yeah. I think the goal is we do everything with excellence.
Yeah.
And you don't find excellence by shooting for perfection. You find excellence by knowing where the good enough line is and then being just a couple notches above it.
That's so good. I love that.
It takes time. It takes time to ask deep questions. I'll sort of end this with a story of where I've seen it work for me, and then we'll make some application to it.
Yeah.
I was leading a team of sharp leaders.
Yeah.
That produced a camp every year, and this camp was blowing up. I mean, we were breaking records in attendance every year, and it was awesome. And and we would get down because we were high capacity leaders. We're like, let's make it better.
Yeah.
Let's make it better. And we were thinking of all these new ideas that we could do. And they were going to cost more money, and they were going to take more time and more effort. So we were looking at all of those things. And at the end of the meeting, we were looking at just what we were thinking of doing. And then we said, okay, let's do a cost analysis. Mm. Doing all of this new stuff that we were going to do, what is going to be the return on it? Oh. And we determined none.
Wow.
The kids were already leaving camp thrilled.
It's a great question to ask.
They were already leaving camp ready to come back next year.
Yeah.
So, and a good chunk of them, they're not coming back to camp next year because they're going to a different camp that's at a higher age level where we did things different. So we determined, why would we spend all of this time, money, effort that was going to produce no beneficial return when some of the current things we were doing were already working really well?
It's good.
And they weren't stale, and they weren't old, and they were excellent.
Yeah.
We saved so much money doing that.
That's
good. I just think, slow down and ask yourself those questions. Yeah. I think the first one is, who's my audience?
Yeah.
Who am I trying to please? Could be a friend.
Yeah.
Could be a spouse. Could be a boss. And then find out, what do they determine is the good enough line?
Mm-hmm.
Ask them.
I was going to say, do you ask them?
Ask them. I have, I secret shop our church. I pay people who don't come to church here to come to church here every once in a while, and then they write a report up of what they liked and what they didn't like. It's helping me know where the good enough line is.
Yeah.
I have conversations with my wife all the time. We're just talking about how we're doing this. Are we doing this right? In parenting, you know, where do we want our kids to succeed, and where do we determine the good enough line is?
Yeah.
You got to do the research to figure out where that good enough line is, and then push up a little bit above that.
Do you ask your kids where the good enough line is?
No, I often tell them what the good enough line is.
They don't have an opinion quite yet.
Sometimes they do. You know, it depends on the age. The older they get, the more influence they have in that conversation.
That makes sense.
Yeah. I think those are important. It's a simple principle.
Yeah.
It's a principle like we might often overlook.
Yeah.
But it can be so profound and liberating and empowering when we say, I can do this.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have more time, effort, and money at the end of it because I know where excellence really is at.
Yeah. Well, and I think, I mean, even for me, that definition of separating excellence and perfection is huge. That changes the perspective for myself, and I know for so many people in that, because perfection is not excellence.
No, it's not. And I think that's the biggest key out of the good enough line.
Yeah. So what are action steps? What are we doing?
I think when you're pursuing perfection, which is impossible, you need to celebrate at excellence.
Okay.
And acknowledge, hey, I could spend more time, more effort, more money doing this. Nah, I got it. It's good enough. In fact, it's better than good enough. It's excellence. I'm going to get my maximum return out of this. Call it good. And it's hard to walk away at times.
Yeah.
Because there's other ideas you could do, but it's not going to return.
Yeah.
And maybe right now, as you're listening to this and you're wrestling with this concept and it's new and it's fresh, maybe pick an area in your life that you go, I need to find the good enough line of this, and I need to do some self-evaluation. Am I putting more effort into this and that I don't need to be? Or I thought the good enough line was way lower, and it's not, and that's why there's certain tension in my life.
Mm.
And I need to raise the good enough line and put some more effort and time to make sure I'm above that, and that might be why I'm being frustrated or I'm causing frustration, because I misread the good enough line for people.
Does the good enough line move?
All the time. It depends. You know, like when I was using the camp experience, it didn't move that year.
Yeah.
A couple years after that, it did move.
Okay.
And we went back to some of those great ideas. Why? Because the kids had shifted and changed.
Sure.
The end user was looking for a different response.
Okay.
And so, yeah, I think the good enough line does change over time. I mean, you know, even at our church, the good enough line has changed as we've grown. There's a higher expectation.
Yeah.
And at the same time, there's a higher expectation because we have higher gifted leaders
yeah.
that want to use those gifts. And so you got to allow them that opportunity to use those gifts or they feel like they're not doing well enough. It's balancing all of that. I think when in my marriage, the good enough line on dating my wife before we had children was way higher than when we had a whole bunch of children. Now if we can get to McDonald's and it's good enough sometimes that we're just out of the house together is a win. So you know what? Seasons of life can change the good enough line as well.
Yeah. I love this idea of finding the good enough line and staying above it. It's so simple and it has the ability to, in my opinion, relieve unnecessary stress and really create room for us to grow as individuals. Well, with that said, everyone, we are so glad that you joined us for the Life in Gear podcast. And Kevin, as always, I'm excited for what we're coming up in the next episode. So why don't you give us a little teaser about that?
Well, you know, one of the things that across America we have is we're a very lonely country. Like people are lonely.
Yeah.
In fact, there's a pandemic of loneliness. And we're going to talk about how to fix that. In fact, the simple phrase here it is we're going to talk about how to make friends and keep friends.
Okay.
Very simple.
Yeah.
But it's going to lead to joy and adventure.
That's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. And so, hey, if you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss an episode. We're on Spotify, Apple, and even Stitcher. So make sure you check those out at canvas.church/lifeingear.
Awesome. And if you'd like to follow us on Instagram or Facebook and leave us some reviews, that's always great. We're going to continue to post content and behind-the-scenes stuff on those platforms, as well as our show notes are on whatever podcast platform that you're listening to, including Google, which you skipped that one.
Google. I did skip it. Okay, I'm your host, Justin Stewart, and for Kevin and myself, thank you so much for listening to the Life in Gear podcast, where truth leads to joy and adventure.